You know, we assume a lot of things every day. I know I do. I assume when I flip the light switch, the lights are going to come on. I assume when I turn the key, my truck is going to crank up. I assume when I go to use my credit card that the purchase will be approved when I swipe my card through the card reader. I assume a lot of positive things. One reason is because I'm just an optimistic person. But also, I have a touch of realism that works with my optimism when I assume things, okay? Like, I assume that the grocery store is always going to have plenty of Bluebell, the right ketchup, and toilet paper. But I also know that when I go to checkout and pay for it, I'm going to pick the slowest checkout line. I know that. I assume that the weather forecast is right and we're going to have a nice, enjoyable cold front tomorrow. But I also assume it's going to get really hot again after that. I assume that if I'm walking on a relatively flat surface with no obstacles and I trip anyway, I assume that I'm probably not going to fall down. But I also believe someone is going to be nearby to laugh at me as I awkwardly run 3 or 4 steps trying to catch my balance without falling. I assume that when there's a tight ball game that really matters, the Astros are always going to win. And the Aggies are always going to lose. I can point to case studies, as fresh as a couple weeks ago. I'm going to make a lot of assumptions. You know what? I've got an assumption, a couple of assumptions about most of you. Matter of fact, it's something I believe about many, if not most, if not all of you. I believe most of you really want to be generous. I really do. I believe that about you. I believe that you want to be generous. And that when you see a need that is legitimate, that most of you have this impulse in you that's like, man, I'd like to help with that. I wish I could. Whether you can or not, I believe you have this impulse, this desire to give. And here's what I base it on. I base it on two things. First of all, the creation account in the Bible at the very beginning tells us that we are created in God's image. We all are God's image bearers. We are hardwired with the characteristics of God. Therefore, since God is generous, for God so loved the world, he gave, that we are just wired to be generous as well. I believe that. The second reason that I believe most of you are generous and want to be generous is because I've seen your generosity happen so many times over and over again. 2 weeks ago, when we had IJM Freedom Sunday, 18 of you committed to become a freedom partner and fight against human trafficking around the world through International Justice Mission. Just the 1 year net effect of your giving, those 18 of you that committed to be freedom partners, will amount to over $8,000. And then another $2,000 in individual gifts were given by many of you on top of that. That's generous. And let me just say, thank you so much for that. Now, I assumed that this would be a good Sunday. I assumed that you would do well. But I was pretty blown away by that, by 18, because last year we already had 30 of you who already have become freedom partners. So that's just amazing that we would give like that. So I assume that you want to be generous because I know you're wired that way by God and because I see that. I see it happen in this church all the time. But here's another not so optimistic, more realistic assumption that I make about you. I assume that many of you are not as generous as you wish you could be. You want to be generous, but for whatever reason, you're not. You don't feel like you can. Maybe you wanted to jump on the justice train a couple of weeks ago, or maybe you wanted to sponsor a child in Kenya when the 410 Bridges Daraja Choir came through here several months ago. Or maybe it's some other need in the community or around the world that you have seen recently that you wanted to help at, but you felt like you just couldn't give. I know you wanted to, but I also know that many of you don't or can't. For any number of reasons, here's something I know. I know that many of you cannot give as generously as you'd like to because your finances are in a mess. You know, maybe it's crushing student loans. Maybe it's credit card debt. Maybe you lost your job for an extended period of time or your house flooded. Or maybe all of that could have happened to some of you. What I know is that for whatever reason, many of us are not as generous as we would like to be, as we would really desire to be, because we feel like we just can't. And if that is you, if you feel that way, I've got good news for you. I've got good news to you that you can be helped. That when that you don't always have to live in a situation where there's too much month left at the end of your money. Okay? If that describes you, listen, let me tell you something. Most of you can be, I mean, starting now, most of you can be more generous than you feel like you can. And that's what this Money Challenge series is about. This week and the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about this money challenge. Now, if you assume that anytime we talk about finances, that it's just a money grab for the church, then give somewhere else. I mean that, seriously. And I say that every time I talk about money management, give somewhere else. But just give. Seriously, don't tune me out and miss out on the joy that God wants you to experience if you're a follower of His, okay? Stay with me. There are three steps we're going to take you through on this money challenge, okay? The first step, I want you to pull out your message notes or pull up your phone, the app. I want you to write this down, okay? The first of the three challenges is give generously, okay? That's really where money management begins, is where we begin to hold what we have loosely and we become generous, okay? So if you want to be generous, make the most of what you already have. Make the most of what you already have. Don't go buy a lottery ticket so that you can feed the poor or something like that. Make the most of what you already have, okay? Next week, we're going to talk about saving wisely. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about living appropriately. It all goes together to where we make the most of our money, okay? If you have a Bible, open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words on the screen for you to see. And we also would love to give you a Bible. You can pick one up free at the Welcome Center. You don't have to stand on your head and stack BBs for anybody. Just go there, pick one up, walk out, okay? It's just yours free. Now, the passage we're talking about in 2 Corinthians 8, by the way, 2 Corinthians is in the New Testament of the Bible. The New Testament's three-fourths of the way across your Bible, and 2 Corinthians is about halfway through the New Testament. So it's about seven-eighths of the way across your Bible. 2 Corinthians, the passage we're reading about is part of a letter that was written by one of the early church leaders in the first century church by the name, we call him the Apostle Paul. And Paul was a church planter. He planted a lot of churches across Europe. This was one of the churches he planted in the Greek city of Corinth. And this is one of the letters he sent them. And he's answering lots of questions to them in this letter. I'm reading through it right now, through the book of 2 Corinthians, I mean the 1 Corinthians. And so we call it Corinthians since it's named after the city that these folks lived in. Paul has something he wants to teach them here that we're going to learn here, and he wants them to learn by the example of another church that he was familiar with, a church in Macedonia, okay? Take a look, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Macedonia is where we would see modern-day Bulgaria, part of northeastern Greece, and part of Turkey. That's the region of the world today where we're talking about when we read about Macedonian churches, okay? As a matter of fact, our church takes mission teams to Macedonia, to Bulgaria, to do work with them. A lot of our special needs ministry is the most that we do, but we do some other things there as well. He said, I want you to know about the grace God has given these Macedonians. Verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testified that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus. Titus was the church leader that Paul had trained, who was leading this church in Corinth at the time. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we've kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Key in on that last line. See that you excel in the grace of giving. The church in Corinth was already, as Paul is saying, excelling in so many areas, most of the areas of Christian maturity, but maybe not in giving, maybe not in generosity. And perhaps that's why Paul reminded them, and ironically, he reminded them of the generosity of the Macedonian church, a church that had far less financial resources than the Corinthian church. The Corinthian churches had much more material wealth than the Macedonians. What Paul is trying to let them see, he's letting them see some truths about giving here. The generosity begins with making the most of what you already have, not wishing you had more so that you could be generous. You can be generous with whatever you have right now. It did not ever occur to the folks in Macedonia that they couldn't help out others. That this gift, this generosity that these folks in this church gave was actually to help the church in Jerusalem, where Christianity began, because they were in extreme poverty there. And even though the Macedonians were living in poverty, they wanted to help the folks in Jerusalem who were worse off than they were. So generosity begins with making the most of what you already have. It didn't occur to them they couldn't be give generously. So what I want you to know is generosity, it never depends on how much or how little you have. It just doesn't. That's not where it begins, okay? Look back to verse 2. As you look at the Macedonians' demonstration of generosity, it appears that there are two very different stories being told at the same time about them. Listen to this in this way with one set of words highlighted, okay? Look on the screen. We're going to highlight the words for you, okay? Let me just read one set of words, and you'll see one story about them. In the midst of a very severe trial and their extreme poverty, they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Times are hard, and they gave as much as they could. But now look at the other words we'll highlight here, okay? Their overflowing joy welled up in rich generosity. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing. I mean, those are ironic things that are put next to each other. How could it be so difficult to give, and yet at the same time it brought such joy to them? That's the beauty of the Macedonian example. And that's the beauty of generosity, okay? In their giving, they made much of God, and then they truly made the most of what God had given them. Here's a few truths I believe God wanted the Corinthians to understand, and he wants us to understand as well, okay? Write this truth down about generosity. Giving generously can be inconvenient, okay? Let me just say it's probably always going to be inconvenient, okay? Yet joyful. Joyful. It can be inconvenient and difficult, and also at the same time bring you much joy. They gave to the point of sacrifice, and they were so joyful, they begged for the opportunity to do it. When they heard about a need, they were like, hey, can we help, please? Let us help. That experience is inspiring, but it's also challenging. Look back at verses 4 and 5. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So Paul was there and received some of that blessing, some of that benefit, okay? You can see in the Macedonians' example here, there's yet another truth about generosity. Giving generously, it doesn't begin with money, okay? Keep that in mind. It does not begin with money. Verse 5 says that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by God's will to others. And so here's the first application, okay? Write this down. If you want to be generous, or here's the second application. If you want to be generous, give yourself first to the Lord and then to others. Give yourselves first to the Lord and then to others. Now, this is not talking about giving yourself to the Lord as in stepping over the line of faith to become a follower of Jesus Christ. This is about following through with the trust that you placed in God when you said, I trust you, I give my life, all of it to you, okay? When you accepted his free gift of grace and this gift from a giving God, you don't just give your soul to God so that he can save you from hell when you die and send you to heaven instead. Now, what you do when you step over the line of faith, that following Christ begins here and now. You give him your trust here and now, which means you give him your time and your talent and your treasures, which includes money, but it's not just limited to that, okay? The church in Macedonia, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to others. And that's a great description of the Christian life. We see here together, we see the idea of the great commandment that Jesus taught years before when he said the greatest commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor or to love others. There's this point of surrender in your life when you realize that I belong to God. I have given myself to God. God has given me what I could never, never take care of on my own, freedom from my sins and eternal life. And because I belong to God, everything I have belongs to him. And but because God is a generous God and loves others and gives to others, then I will give myself to others as well. That I'm going to go all in for others and everything I have and am for the cause of the kingdom of God. It's just a reality. It's a next step you take as a Christ follower. Look down at verses 8 and 9. And as Paul encourages them to be generous, he qualifies it with this. And this is important to know too, lest you feel guilty about what you can or cannot do, okay? 2 Corinthians 8, Paul says, I'm not commanding you. And let me just say, I'm not commanding you to be generous either. I can't. I could tell you that, but it doesn't mean you'll do it. I'm asking you and I'm challenging you. And this is what Paul says to the Corinthians. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And he's referring, the earnestness of others is the Macedonian church. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you, through his, Jesus' poverty, might become rich. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ in one verse. It's not about money. It's about everything. Though he was rich, he was God, he was in heaven, yet for your sake he became poor. Do you know that when Jesus came to earth, he didn't just come to live in a human family and be born as a baby. He was born into a very poor family, very poor family. He grew up in poverty. It was a working house, but they were very poor. For your sake he became poor so that through his poverty, you might become rich. Jesus' whole life was lived as a sacrifice for us, not just his death on a cross, the way he lived. We are rich now because if you stepped over the line of faith and become a follower of Jesus Christ, he has forgiven our sins and forgiven your sins, and he's given you new life empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have supernatural power to help you through life, to do all the things that he wants you to do. It changes everything. When you see life through that lens, you don't give to God so that he'll do something for you, because he already has. He already has. You give because he already has. Here's another truth about generosity. Giving generously, it comes from riches you already have. Folks, you are rich in ways that maybe you don't even understand yet. You have riches already that you have. You also, when you get this perspective, you also see that you cannot buy the love of God. You know why? Because you already have it. You can't do anything to make God love you more. And because of God's love on you, you have riches, both material and immaterial. You have riches to share with others. And those riches include money, but they're not even close to being limited to that. They include the treasures or possessions you already have, like your house to entertain others. When's the last time you invited someone into your house or into your apartment to sit around your table that wasn't part of your family to have a meal with you? When's the last time? That may be way a big stretch for you, but you already have that. You have a house. You have food. Be generous with that. Your generosity can be you have a car that you can give someone a ride sometimes. You have a kitchen to make a meal for someone else in need. And many of you, after my surgery and my second hospitalization, many of you brought meals to our house. And that really helped. You just can't imagine, unless you've been on the receiving end, how much that meant. That's generosity. That's riches that overflowed, and we benefited from it. You have a boat, some of you. Take somebody fishing. There are people that live here on the Gulf Coast. They've never been out in the water or on the bays or up the rivers. Take someone out there. Use what you have and bless someone else with that. Riches include your talents and time as well. Some of you have a garage and a lot of tools because you love cars so much, and you can fix someone else's brakes and save them a lot of money and time. That's generosity. You can do that. You have knowledge. Some of you can help a friend with homework. Some of you have skill, and you can teach someone how to play a sport like soccer or baseball. Your love of finance, you can use that to help someone create a budget so they can make the most of what they already have. And some of you, you have patience where you can teach your grandparents what those little thingies, apps are, and how to use them. I mean, seriously, that's something you have that they might feel helpless about. That's generosity, patience, time. Listen, when you get motivated about what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, it becomes a game changer in your life. Your generosity will become the natural outcome. Look down to verses 10 and 11. Paul's kind of wrapping up his talk here. He goes, and here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. That desire, there's that impulse of generosity. We all have the desire to do so. But he goes on, he says, now finish the work Finish the work so that your eager willingness to do may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. Okay, they desired to be generous, but Paul knew they obviously needed a nudge, okay? But don't miss the end of Paul's nudge here. What he says, and I want you to circle this at the bottom of verse 11. Finish the work according to your means. According to your means. Circle those words. According to your means acknowledges the fact that we all have limits. I don't think anyone here can set up a Bill Gates Foundation yet. Someday you may. You don't have that kind of bucks, but you have riches already, okay? According to your means. Write this down. Giving generously is not and never has been, never will be about the size of our gifts. It's not about the size of our gifts. We all have limits. But listen, our limits don't have to limit us. Don't let them limit you, and don't lean on what you don't have to choke off the generosity that you can give, okay? Here's why. Verse 12, Paul goes on to say, for if the willingness is there, if that impulse, the impulse of generosity wired into us at creation when we were made in the image of God, if you haven't just shut that impulse off, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Giving generously, folks, it's not about the size of our gifts. Here's what it's about. It's about the strength of our faith. It's a barometer of your faith, okay? Write this down. Giving generously is about the strength of our faith. If you are a big giver, I would imagine your faith is pretty strong too. And if you are afraid to give and you don't have anything, you can't be generous, then I would say your faith is probably pretty small. Faith is a combination of trust mixed with gratefulness. Christ follower, are you so grateful to God for what he has done for you in Christ that you're willing to share what he has given you with others? Are you willing to live with an open hand and say what's mine is mine to share with others? Do you trust God? Do you believe that God will continue to be generous with you if you're generous with others? Or do you think, okay, but if I help out, I got nothing after that. And I'm just gonna be, you know, I'm gonna really hurt. And maybe you will give to the point of sacrifice. But something else will come and replace that emptiness. It's called joy. The bottom line, when it comes to making the most of what God has given you, is that God wants to develop a generous heart in you. That impulse you have to be generous can be strengthened. It can become a major factor in your life. So back to the money challenge, okay? Back to the money challenge and my assumption that you want to be more generous than you feel you can be, okay? Listen, generous giving is essential to making the most of the money you have and the opportunity that God has given you. So if you want to be generous, wait for it. Wait for it. If you want to be generous, start giving, okay? Start giving. Go beyond the want, go beyond the desire, and start giving. Figure out a way, look around at what you have, look at the needs around you, and start giving. It's that simple. We believe so strongly about this that we're going to give you something, okay? Every household here today is going to receive this book called The Money Challenge, okay? At this exit over here, for those of you that get out real fast to beat everybody out of the parking lot, we got books there. And then at both exit doors in the foyer, we have this book. We want every household to take this book, this money challenge. That money challenge, it's a fable, a story about someone who wants to give but feels that they can't give. And it's a real quick read. It's a quick read, and it's based on principles from the Bible. It's going to show you how you can give generously. It's going to show you how to save wisely. It's going to show you how to live within your means. It's got some appendixes that teach you how to get rid of your debt, the consumer debt that you have. It's really going to be a good book. I want to challenge you to take this book, okay? This money challenge is based on biblical principles. Take this book and read the introduction, the first six pages, okay? That's all. Read the first six pages, and if it doesn't catch your attention, doesn't interest you, you don't want to read the rest of it, then give it back or give it away, okay? Just take that challenge and read the whole book, okay? And I want to challenge you to read that, but I'll tell you up front, okay? Full disclosure, on page 28 It's gonna use the T word, tithing. It's gonna talk about tithing or giving 10% of your income, okay, to the church. But here's my promise about that. I've already said this once. I'm gonna say it again, okay? If you don't know us well enough to know that this isn't a money grab, then give somewhere else. Please give, though. Give. If you're a Christ follower, give first to a church or some organization that is all about building the kingdom of God, okay? And then once you fully apply these biblical principles of generosity to your life, there will be plenty for you to share in other areas that aren't about the kingdom of God. And I hope you will. I do. And I want you to as well. Don't just be so, it's not just about taking care of the church, okay? Here's why I urge you to learn and practice biblical principles for giving. I deeply desire for you to experience the joy of giving, and I desire for you to experience the growing and strengthening of your faith that trusting God with your money will bring you. But if you think this is a money grab for our church, let me say it again. Give somewhere else. We'll be okay. God is always taking care of us, and he always will, okay? We have an 18-year history of God taking care of Brazos Point Fellowship, and God continues to help us be generous and give to others. We give generously as a church by tithing what we receive to missions. The tithing, actually, we give more than a tithe or more than 10% away. Now, the Bible doesn't actually command churches to tithe, okay? That's not a command. We do it because we want to set the example, and because we want to be a generous church, and we want to show you, guys, it's not about Brazos Point, Brazoria Road campus, or Mid-County campus. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about us. That's why I feel very comfortable telling you, give somewhere else, give to some other church, because it's about the kingdom of God. That's what we care about. We do this because we want to be generous. With your giving, I want you to know what all your giving supports. Your giving, it supports multiple local ministries here in Brazoria County. It supports multiple church plants, both in Brazoria County and in Seattle, Washington. Your giving supports community development projects in some communities in Kenya. It supports healthcare in Cambodia. It helps fight the battle against human trafficking and slavery with the International Justice Mission around the world. And the biggest recipients of our giving outside goes to church planting across North America through the North American Mission Board, and it goes to support missionaries in just about every country in the world, countries that you would never imagine that missionaries are in, through the International Mission Board, probably 4,000 plus missionaries. That's what your giving does. If out of every week's offering, at least 10%, really more than 10%, leaves this church. We believe in practicing what we preach in generosity. And not just in generosity, but also in saving wisely. We'll talk about that next week as a church. And in living within our means. Okay, we try not to be extravagant in what we do. But again, if you think we're more interested in your wallet than in your heart, give somewhere else. I think that's the fourth time I've said that. Give somewhere else. But please give. Please give. Your assumption's wrong, but I understand why you might think that. And I'm cool with that, okay? Compassion, sacrifice, and generosity, those are probably some of the most telling characteristics of the Christ-following life. They're probably some of the ways we can most exhibit the love of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and to other people around the world. When you love God and you love others through generosity in response to what God has already done for you, folks, your heart begins to grow in some really special ways. It's incredible what God will do with you. Make the most of what you already have, and then see what God begins to do with your heart and with your financial situation as well. Let's pray. God, you're a generous God. We see that, we experience that. Father, help us to reflect that. Father, help us to feed the generous impulses that I believe we all have. Help us not to live in fear, but in faith, that we can be generous. Father, today, show us what we already have that we can be generous with, whether it's stuff or money or time or our attention, whatever. Father God, help us to be a generous church so that we can repay our generosity to you for what you've done, even though you don't expect us to repay it, but then also so we can pay it forward and so that we can love people around the community and that they can see that you're a giving, loving, compassionate God because we're giving, loving, and compassionate people. Father, let your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to love you in generous ways and to love others as well. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.